Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses.
You're invited to the Writing Excuses Cruise, an annual event for writers who want dedicated time to focus on honing their craft, connecting with their peers, and getting away from the grind of daily life. Join the full cast of Writing Excuses as we sail from Los Angeles aboard the Navigator of the Seas from September 19th through the 27th of 2024, with stops in Ensenada, Cabo San Lucas, and Mazatlan. The cruise offers seminars, exercises, and group sessions, an ideal blend of relaxation, learning, and writing, all while sailing the Mexican Riviera. For tickets and more information, visit writingexcuses.com/retreats.
Season 19, Episode 27. This is Writing Excuses.
A close reading on character, an overview, and why we chose C.L. Clarke's short stories.
15 minutes long, because you're in a hurry.
And we're not that smart.
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Dong Wan.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm Howard.
And I am very excited that we're doing a trio of stories for this section of our close reading, because I love to write short stories. But also, I think there's a lot that you can learn from looking at one author doing a few different short stories. So as a reminder, we're going to be doing C.L. Clarke's stories, You Perfect Broken Thing, The Cook, and Your Eyes, My Beacon, being an account of several misadventures and how I found my way home, which were all actually published in Uncanny Magazine. And I think, Mary Robinette, you were the one who brought these stories first to our attention. What made you think of them?
So I have known C.L. Clarke for a couple of years, and one of the things that I love about their writing is that they can be extremely emotional and get deep into a character within a very compressed space. One of the first things that I read of theirs was You Perfect Broken Thing, And like even today, I had to reread just to prep for this. It still makes me cry when I get to the end. And that's a really beautiful gift that a, you know, from a short story, is to have this kind of in-depth emotional response. The other thing that I love about it is that there's a very clear character arc that happens, and the character is encountering several different emotional spaces. And not only is the character inhabiting those different emotional spaces, the style of writing that Ciel Clarke deploys to convey that is so specific to each moment that I thought that it was a really good example of, look at this, look at how much freedom you have when you are attempting to convey character.
We hear the word character-driven a lot when talking about different kinds of fiction or different kinds of stories, and Ciel Clarke's work really drives that home. You know, it definitely feels like the character has taken the wheel of the car of this story and is just taking us wherever they're going to go, right? There's so many unexpected choices or surprising or nuanced things that the characters say or do that in all three of these stories will catch me off guard in a way that was so delightful and so fun. And, you know, in a couple of them, really making choices that are almost borderline villain choices in ways that I think are so relatable and understandable. And I can't even be mad at them when they've done something that I so heartily disagree with.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing that I really like with this is the second story that we mentioned, The Cook, is super short. It's like 800 and it's less than 900 words. And there's major action that happens off stage. And all we're looking at in this story is the difference in the way two people are relating to each other based on this major action that happens off stage. But the major action is not the interesting part. And so it just gets quickly referred to in just a couple of lines and then we go on. And I find that very compelling that there are a lot of these character portraits that I find in their work.
I want to tie a couple of things together here and clarify something. Aaron, you said you love to write short stories. And Mary Ravina, you mentioned The Cook. I love to read short stories. And I was trying to figure out why, and I realized I think I like to read them for the same reason I like to eat tapas. I love being able to get in one bite a million flavors all at once. You think of a novel as it could be, you know, a three-course dinner. It could be a pepperoni pizza with everything. It could be, and if you think of it as a pepperoni pizza or a pizza with everything, thinking of short stories as deconstructions of the pizza, as tapas, little bits of those things that would be in the full meal and which in and of themselves are complete. And that, coming back to the idea of just being a cook, that is the mastery that I found in reading these, that they're small, but there is so much in there.
And one of the things I like is that, and to just build on this pizza analogy, which I love and is making me hungry, is that, you know, these are three different lengths of story. They're short stories, but one is this very tiny pizza bite type of, like, you know,
it's a bagel bite.
It's a bagel bite. I was trying to remember the name of them. I'm like, it's a little, thank you, bagel bites. You have one that's basically like maybe a, you know, a cross section, the Hot Pocket. Wow, you were ready.
I'm on it.
Okay. I just want to be clear that the story is way better a story than a Hot Pocket is a food.
Hey, come on, line Hot Pockets.
I love a Hot Pocket. And the third is maybe a slice, you know?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So each one of them, but because it's the same author writing them, there are certain things that are done in all of the stories that make sense. Like there's cheese in all three of those things, theoretically, but the way that cheese would be expressed is different. And similarly, like things like a description of another person, all of these have relationships also at their core, but the way that people are described is slightly different when you have three words to do it versus a sentence versus maybe a paragraph.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the reasons we chose Time War is because there's like 3 to 4 distinct voices in that book. So it was really useful to, you know, break it down and compare. And short fiction, similarly, because they're bite-sized, is the metaphor we've landed on, it's very easy to figure out out how to talk about different aspects and highlight different aspects in being able to cover a collection of short stories, you know, a handful of them here, lets us really compare and contrast how the author is, you know, highlighting different aspects of character, drawing out different elements of character across all three stories. So I think it'll make it for a really dynamic and fun conversation.
When we do close readings, the power of these for me is being able to reference the text, mm-hmm. being able to read to you, fair listener, the words that did the thing. And with these short stories, it's so much easier to find the words because, you know what? In this one, there's only six sentences to choose from that did, you know, this bit of lifting on that character.
And one of the things that I find having gone from short stories to novels is that the skills that I learned in short fiction, I can deploy in novel form so that I have more space for, like, I can establish a character very, very quickly because I've learned these skills in short form, which gives me more space to have character development, to have other things that are happening and interesting. Whereas I see a lot of people who are early career spending chapters and chapters saying, mm-hmm. trying to establish this character and all of this painful backstory of the character. And frequently, when you look at short fiction, you're able to establish painful backstory in just one or two sentences, maybe a paragraph, especially when we get into You Perfect Broken Thing. There is so much world building in that that's just conveyed super fast in super economical terms.
Well, that's kind of the thing I want to talk about is there's something Clark does so masterfully here, which is have this laser focus on character and be so light with world building. So much of the world building is defined in negative space, mm-hmm. right? The cook is a great example of this, but all three stories do this in different ways where there's very little that they are telling us about explicitly. Here's why this contest is happening. Here's why the world is like this. Here's why these people have been persecuted out of existence. All that is left in the margins of the story and not addressed because they don't matter unless they matter to the character interaction. And so we understand the world enough to understand why characters are making the choices that they make. And that's it. It's a stop at that point. And I think that is so cool and is such a great demonstration of how much you can do if you really hone one of the tools in your kit. And then when you carry that into novel writing, I think when you have that more expansive space to do the stuff that is off screen in these stories, you still have that strong foundation in knowing how to write character, how to write that element.
Yeah, I love when you said the world building sort of just comes in and when it's needed. Mm-hmm. I remember in Your Eyes, My Beacon, that there's the high court, which mm-hmm. is, you know, the
barely mentioned.
Like all of a sudden they were mentioned. I was like, oh, actually, I think this is the first time I'm hearing about the high court. But it's very clear that both of the characters are very familiar with it, mm-hmm. but it didn't need to be mentioned to me until this moment. Mm-hmm. And I really thought that was like sort of an audacious but amazing choice, because the time that you spend explaining the high court, you know, takes you out of the moment between these two characters mm-hmm. as they're trying to figure out what to do within this lighthouse.
And it barely comes up again, but it is this constant threat throughout the story. I never forget about the high court mm-hmm. for the rest of the story, but it's mentioned maybe twice off the top of my head.
Yeah.
On the subject of taking you into and out of the moment, we're going to take a quick break and be back in a moment.
This episode of Writing Excuses is sponsored in part by Acorns. Money can be a difficult topic for writers and creative professionals. It's not like earning a regular paycheck that comes in at reliable intervals. It requires more careful planning to make sure that that advance covers you not just this year, but sets you up for the future as well. Learning to invest and be smart with your money takes time and research, and it's easy to put that off in favor of short-term goals. I encourage all the writers I work with to read up on the options out there and do their homework to figure out what makes sense for them. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing in your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. Head to acorns.com/WX or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing your future today.
Client testimonial, compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/WX.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and matching technology that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 75% of employers claim Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other online job sites, leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences daily. Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Join today by heading to Indeed.com/podcasts9 and get a £100 sponsored job credit. That's Indeed.com/podcasts9. Terms and conditions apply.
This week, our thing of the week is called a role-playing game called Monster of the Week, which, as that name implies, is based around this kind of TV show, Supernatural or Buffy or X-Files, the kind of show where each week there's another monster and you have to figure out what it is and deal with it. And the reason I am recommending it is because it gets so creative with the powers that you have and the way that those powers help you to tell a particular kind of story. So, for example, one of the character classes has the power of getting captured by the monster. That is literally their superpower. And the reason that that is useful is because getting captured helps reveal all kinds of things. Where does the monster hang out? What kinds of powers does the monster have? And it, you know, fits into that genre of storytelling that you see on shows like Supernatural, where someone will get captured and then gets to talk to the monster or see how they work. So this game, once again, is called Monster of the Week, and it's awesome. Check it out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
All right, as we come back from the break, I want to give you a couple of very specific tools to be thinking about with character. And then what we're going to do is we're going to read to you the opening of the, just the first paragraph of each of the three stories so you can hear how these tools are being manipulated, even in this these tiny, tiny spaces. So these tools are about a character's identity, ability, role, relationship, and status. We're going to dig more into these in the next episode. But right now, what I want you to think about is ability, the things a character can and cannot do. And this is all about how a character self-defines. So the things they cannot do. Role are the tasks, the responsibilities that move them through the world. Relationship is about their loyalties. And then status is about where they are in a power structure. So as you are listening to us read these, think about ability, role, relationship, and status and how they are manifesting even in these compressed spaces, just these first paragraphs.
I'll start with the opening of You Perfect Broken Thing. When I leave the kill floor, my legs are wasted. I shuffle to the women's locker room. I can't stand anymore, but I know if I sit, I'll never get back up. At least not for another hour.
The cook. The first time I see her, it's just a glimpse. I'm standing in the inn's common room, and the other warriors straddle chairs and call for ale. While some reach for a serving wench or boy, cheeks to pinch, a life to grasp, my stomach growls a monster's growl. I should be slain, the growl is that fierce. I smell the roasting lamb, the unmistakable sneeze of freshly ground peppercorns and garlics, but it's all hidden behind the kitchen door.
Your eyes, my beacon. She is light. Until she is not, and the lighthouse goes dark, as the waves crash against the cliffside, the rock at its foot, jutting and jagged, a peril even to the most skilled navigator's ships.
So you can see how they are manipulating those things, even in these tiny spaces. In that first one, we're seeing ability, the ability of the character, completely manipulated. In the second one, we're looking at the tasks, I'm hungry, I need to eat. And in the moment, that's the everything that's defining this character. And then in this last one, she is light. Again, we're back to tasks, but also this role.
The status really comes in here,
yeah.
You know, as she's failing to complete this task, as her ability fails her, suddenly her power and her status becomes very much in question.
Yeah.
And I think you do that. What something was really interesting I noticed between the cook and Your Eyes, My Beacon is I think the cook is very much relationship. The first time I see her, it's just a glimpse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about a specific other person is being centered really early on. Whereas in Your Eyes, My Beacon, when it talks about the lighthouse goes dark, a peril even to the most skilled navigator's ships, you can tell it's a role or status, I guess, mm-hmm. because it's affecting all the ships. It's no longer about a single, it's not that ship, it's all the ships out there. And that's mm-hmm. where you can tell, like, it's a specific person's status or place in the world versus their place with regards to another individual.
So this is just kind of a little bit of a preview of some of the things that we're going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks and why we're so excited to be exploring the work of C.L. Clarke.
I want to look at the cook again, because the shortest of the three, that first paragraph gives us so much information, and some of it is inherently mimetic, in that we are being given information by being asked to recall things that are not in the story. The sentence I'm talking about. I'm standing in the inn's common room and other warriors straddle chairs and call for ale. Inn, common, warriors, ale.
Hmm.
Pathfinder or D&D, you are there. Those are words that get used all the time. And if you tell yourself, oh, I'm in a D&D setting, or I'm in a Pathfinder setting, or I am in some sort of Western fantasy-esque role-playing game setting, except I'm telling a story, you know what? That's good enough. The story will play with that backdrop you've painted. And we were told to paint it by being given those four words in quick succession.
Exactly. And when you do something like that, it leaves so much more space to then explore character. So you don't have to do a ton of world building, and that allows you to then, you know, the negative space that Dong Huan was talking about before, that allows you then to just focus on the character. And again, in that, in The Cook, the first time I see her, it's just a glimpse. One of the other tools you're going to hear me talking about is recency primacy effect. And by starting with, this is the most important thing in this story, the first time I see her.
It's funny, we almost get the inverse of that with Your Eyes, My Beacon, because we start with her. We start with the She Is Light. And by the time we get to the reveal of what's going on with the lighthouse keeper, me at least completely forgot about this opening, right? Completely forgot about the connection between the character in being light. And then when that comes back, it's such a thrilling moment.
I also wanted to note that the first time I see her, it's just a glimpse. The first time, you know, you know, because you know there will be a next time. Yeah. And there, I love words like that, that help to create anticipation naturally in us by telling us there is a sequence of events. And if you wait, we'll get to the next thing in the sequence.
Mm-hmm. All three of these imply future action, right? Mm-hmm. We have her leaving the kill floor, this sort of athlete pushed to her limits. We're going to get more about this, right? You get the first time I see her, you get the lighthouse going out and the consequence of that. All three are such a great way of rooting yourself in character, but with momentum, right? I think sometimes when people talk about character, it can feel very static because it's a portrait of here's a person who exists at a point in time. But the thing is, people aren't static. They are in motion. And C.L. Clarke is a master at giving us that velocity. Each one of these, I feel like I'm coming off the starting block and just sprinting away into the distance.
There's a line from, I think Hogarth speaks it in Iron Giant, where he tells the Iron Giant, "You are who you choose to be." Mm-hmm. I love that line. You are who you choose to be. Just show us a choice. Show us the character making a choice. Now we know who they are in that moment. Mm-hmm. We don't know what their next choice, what they'll choose next time, but we now know enough. It's motion.
Yeah. But I love how that also feels in tension with this idea of character as destiny, right? They are going to make choices and they have choices. They have agency, which we're going to talk a lot more about in a future episode, but also they're almost trapped by who they are and what they need to be. And watching them struggle against that is so much the dynamism of these stories of how do you make a choice when you have to go fight a war? How do you make a choice when you can't leave the kitchen? How do you make a choice when you need to save your family? And that is so fun.
And I want to come back to the kitchen. One last comment about tapas and about the length of short stories. I was served something called a dragon's tear at a sushi restaurant, which was basically a sliver of habanero teardrop shaped wrapped around a little nugget of wasabi. Okay.
Oh no.
That is one bite of heat and tears and sneezing and regret and joy.
Howard, what did you do to piss this cook off?
But see, here's the thing. I don't want a plate of dragon tears.
Yeah.
I just want one. I want to go on that ride one time. Okay. I'll go back to that restaurant and get another one because it was fun. That, for me, is what short fiction can do. I do not know what this is going to taste like when I start reading it. It doesn't have a book cover. It's not shelved somewhere in the fantasy or science fiction section. My expectations are nebulous. Mm-hmm.
I think that is a perfect time to go to the homework, which I have for this week, which is to write a series of sentences and each one pick a character that you have and write that character's name is someone who, and then something about them, and then write it again and again and again and again and again until you run out of things and you have to continue to keep writing, because that will help you find levels to your character that maybe not even you anticipated.
This has been Writing Excuses. You're out of excuses. Now go write.
Are you struggling to find time and energy for creative work or writing? Sandra Taylor has a new book that might help. Structuring Life to Support Creativity is a resource book for creative people who want to make more space in the life they have for the creative work they want to do. This book is drawn from 30 years' experience in juggling creative work along with everything else life throws at us. Inside the book, you can find such topics as managing your mental load, arranging your physical space, how to come back to your creative work after life goes sideways, the problem of motivation, and more. The whole book is written with a focus on adapting for how your brain works instead of trying to change you to fit expectations. The book is not prescriptive, and instead provides concepts and tools so you can find the ones that work for you. This makes the book Autism, ADHD, and Neurodivergent friendly. Pre-order your copy today at sandrataylor.com. Just make sure that Taylor has an ER in the Taylor.
Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. For this episode, your hosts were Mary Robinette Kowal, Dongwon Song, Aaron Roberts, and Howard Taylor. This episode was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr., mastered by Alex Jackson, and produced by Emma Reynolds. For more information, visit writingexcuses.com.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.